Sorry for bringing up my enjoyment.
No, no, no. We're at the top of the hour, Bob, and I figured since you never listen to the Wednesday show because you don't have time and you can't be bothered, that and you've enjoyed Bart's website creation, that you might enjoy some of Bart's mashups. So,
oh, yeah.
I thought we would play another one of Bart's mashups at the top of this hour for a little musical interlude.
Good.
And then Greg's going to do the Evergreen stuff with you. And we'll read the Inkwicks when we come back, and then we'll launch off into the Evergreens. How does that sound?
Yes. Perfect.
Okay. Here we go. So this is Bart doing his, this clip is called The Last Train Home.
2012 is nothing other than the end of the beginning. It's nothing other than that. The scriptures are very clear. There'll come a time on earth when time shall be no more. That doesn't mean the world's going to be destroyed. That means you're going to throw the clocks out. We are but non-physical. You have non-physical, more non-physical than you could ever use or engage. But you'll come into the place where you find yourself having power and control over all the terra and the firma of this earth, this world and other worlds that you engage. There is no future. There is no past. There's only now. As an eternal being, there's never been a time when you were not. There's never a time when you were not. You are eternal. So eternal, there's not a beginning place and there's not an ending place. You are eternal. Always have been, always will be. So when you embrace that correct place, the only question at bar is, are you God or are you separated from your place of power and still God? What we're here for is to remind you human creators to come back into your place of power. The moral to the story is you're coming back to where you were pre-Ark of the Covenant. The euphoria, the bliss, the utopia that you're speaking about. Don't worry, be happy. It's coming anyway. It's coming anyway. It's happening anyway. By default, it's on its way. What?
It doesn't
rain. Oh, yeah. I went to see Ion, and all I got was this effing t-shirt. We love Bob, and
I don't need none of your love.
Okay, Carol, do you have any thermo fiddle?
I gotta come up with something else.
And I looked into heaven and I saw all the angelic hosts singing a new song. And I saw that song emanating from the heavens into the essence of all of the earth. And I looked down and I saw the field and it was white and ready for the harvest. Can you hear me now? Okay, all's well. always remember there is great love for you here, and we are complete. Maybe JW would like to say hello in the last 2 seconds. Yes, hello. It's been great fun. Great fun to that.
Excellent. Very nice. So he made all that music?
Bart did that mashup.
Very nice.
Yep.
I like the quote.
Yep.
Very funny.
Yeah, he did a great job.
It's interesting what Hillary would think if she heard the first 30 seconds of what I was speaking of.
What did he say?
Well, just everything that he's always stood for in a nice little nutshell.
Right.
You know, your God, get on the bus or get off, and the angels rejoice. Very nice.
I think Hillary is... an old school feminist. She's preserving the female form. It's under attack. She's a tribal matron of the female archetype. Because that was what it was all about. She's pissed off at the patriarchy and wants to get back to the fat goddess and stand tall.
I affectionately refer to it as penis envy myself, Bob.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. I wouldn't go that far.
I don't think it's penis envy.
What? She said not.
Not in this house.
Not in this house. Yeah, what does that mean?
Yeah. Guess not that in this house either, Carolyn. Not in this house.
In other words, there is pen. What do I? Did I say I said I don't put much stock in it or something? You know, what did I say? I put. I wouldn't go that far. And then Carolyn's saying that we would go that far. Oh, so... You're not envious of my penis?
There's no penis envy in
this house. Well, you don't even know. You don't even understand the ramifications of any of this. You're a little girl. The little girl in Matrix 3, the one in the hill with the B-cell water. That's you. I look at this face, this little kid face all the time, this little beaming, like, 8-year-old face. It's incredible.
Did I tell you lately that Bob doesn't wear glasses anymore? I think that might explain it.
Oh, yeah, that could be a factor. No, my eyes got strong enough to take you. Just like you went deaf, I went fucking blind. But now we've healed ourselves.
Hallelujah!
Carol, you got this echo going on, but it's okay. It's all right.
I know.
Yeah, I can't wait for somebody to call into the radio show and go, before I took the drops, I was blind. And after the drops, I'm deaf.
That's right. Next time I'll be paralyzed. She's going through the senses, the different senses. Eye, ear, muscle, smell. No, that is quite amazing, Ginny, how much Hillary wrote. I mean, she doesn't stop. Talk, 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 and spells it out, types it out for half an hour.
Yeah. Well, she's a very typey-oriented gal, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, she's driven. She's driven.
Yeah. Well, and like you said, she has her own platform, and so there's those things. There's a lot of factors to consider. I'm just surprised that she had to get at it so quickly.
I just said driven.
Like,
that's what Ion said. Let's go back to that. Maybe we can figure out what it meant. I'm saying she's driven, and Ion said that, right? He said, what is your driven reality or something? What?
Purpose-driven reality.
The anthropomorphic anti-crew. What your driven or your purpose-driven reality includes. It includes Hillary. That's what that was. That's what it was. And the anti-crew, in my scene, the crew refuses to work. They don't want to have as much slack as me. So if anybody was working for me, they don't do it very long. So I have an anti-crew performing around me, if at all. Right? It's anthropomorphic. In other words, I've got many other kinds of forms, chip bodies, non-anthropomorphic projections around me. But the anti-crew is the anthropomorphic people. The people, that's what I was saying to Hillary. You're stuck with a biological form, which is what we think the anthropomorphic is, sort of. So this Ion is, and then he came on after her, didn't he? Yes. And what you're driven or purpose or he's commenting on her. That's what's going on here.
Yes, yeah. Purpose driven reality.
Yeah. Sure. Includes
Hillary, what is your purpose driven reality?
To put up with Hillary. To be as more patient than Greg or anybody else on the fucking planet.
Well, not to put up with it. And the Evergreens were always big on this as a philosophy of inclusion. Whenever you exclude, then you build that wall, which is very ionic. And you, of course, will bridge, given enough time and patience, sure, you would both share ideas, and she would walk away with something, and maybe on a good day you'd walk away with something from her.
Well, I walked away with puzzling, semi-puzzling about, this is a tough nut to crack. This one's going to be difficult. I will not be able to withdraw that quickly.
Very good.
I will not be able to withdraw that quickly. As Susanna says, and Carolyn shakes her head, I am obsessed with sex. I guess Susanna Dallas is correct. It always comes down to that with me, doesn't it? Or at least I pretend it does. That's my purpose-driven anthropomorphic purpose. I used to brag that I was a discarnate penis on the radio in Toronto. I think she was a fine example of quadrophenia. If we could get her to calm down and explain to her how she was doing the tetrad around the biological form, flipping it, obsolescing it, canceling, claiming it was hard, claiming it was something else, including the chip world. Fucking blatant quadrophenia there.
But if she thinks she's, arrived at her answers, she's not interested in growing and learning anything else.
Just like you. That's what I recognize. I said, shit, I'm fucking, this is another Carolyn. Look at this. Look at the way she's going on. Now, Carolyn never says it, but that is what Carolyn thinks. I know Carolyn. I had Carolyn talk channel to me, the unspoken Carolyn.
Bob, no, because earlier you said that she was like Allison and me and nothing like Carolyn, because Carolyn's too intuitive. Absolutely not. You're not bashing Carolyn on my show.
Wait a minute. I do say, and I'm on the record publicly, Carolyn is a little Hitler. The little Hitler part of Carolyn was what I had to deal with today.
Yeah, I don't think Hillary is a little Hitler. I think she's a very confused, conflicted woman who's into a lot of concepts and theories that don't really put food on anybody's table, you know. But, I mean, it's okay. That's the New Age world. She's caught up in the New Age manuscript world, and she's pursuing the Voynich manuscript. And she's, you know, it's okay. It's not bad. I mean, I've been there, you know, that's what I did with my life, which is why I was so miserable and so grateful that Ion fished me out. I think it's interesting that she feels that she can recognize somebody, quote-unquote, programming her or offering some kind of programming, and she doesn't really realize how absolutely robotically influenced she is by the printing press.
Yeah.
And I was even thinking to myself earlier today that here this whole time, you know, that you're going through your life like my ministry, doing my quote-unquote unique thing and being in the ghetto and serving the poor and all the rest of this, I was absolutely being manipulated by an environment that was an effect of the printing press. And here I think that I'm doing something special, and I'm not. I'm just, you know, responding to technology.
Yeah.
So, you know,
demonstrated, you know what she did? She demonstrated the IONet that comes to me and has that unconscious thing. She demonstrated what you had, what Sheila won't acknowledge, what Allison half acknowledges, who else is there? Madeline is hoping to acknowledge. She represented the archetypal IONet who didn't get Bob yet.
Right, and I think, and I thought it was interesting listening to Katie Thomas, because she was getting it as she went.
Oh yeah, and Katie comes in as a, this is a poetic fucking play. Katie comes in as the Ionette getting it, blatantly talking about it.
Yeah, and she even said in the middle of the thing, she said, well, as she's stumbling along, she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm just realizing that no matter what anybody, and she can't even talk, and she's talking about the sweeping, you know, intelligence of the entire structure of the context of Iandam and Bobstown and everything. I mean,
yeah.
It was a very poetic day.
Yes, it was.
And Allison said Hillary would probably love all this time being spent on her, and it's not being spent on Hillary like Bob would say. It's not about Hillary. It's about the effects of the printing press and how it's playing out inside of people. That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah.
It's not about Hillary, because Hillary was me. So
yeah.
I don't have a problem with Hillary. It's just a question of, when you're in that position, I was a guru, I had a following, I had a clientele, I had all these things going on in my world. They just weren't effective, and I knew it, and I wasn't happy, and I was willing to say, this isn't working.
And you weren't happy, and you had nowhere else to go, no release. There was no way out.
There was no way out, and so because
yeah.
that's why, you know, when you've got all these people that are, you know, seeking you for information that you don't even have or understand. So it was great to actually get unprogrammed by Ion. He said, take your power back and forget all the programming and look at
yeah, and I was trying to unprogram her. And did Katie hear Hillary? I don't think she did.
Oh, yeah, she did. No, she because she told you in the course of her conversation with you that she went
recognized.
To Hillary's
yeah.
website and
oh,
posted
yeah.
on her blog, and Katie was the one who sent me the link telling me what Hillary had written. No, Katie was very much interested. She heard the whole thing.
Did Katie post something on her blog?
Katie went to make a comment on her Facebook page about the... she commented not on her blog. I said that wrong. She went to her Facebook page and made a comment about having heard you guys on the radio in the exchange, and then she followed through and saw that Hillary posted this posting, so she shot me a copy of it and said, check this out.
Yeah, it's been very symmetrical. Now, I think we got some neat messages coming in. Let me just read them. They're pretty good. Or they must be, because there's a lot happening. Ben says, are not the codes the keys to parallel worlding? Yes, you're right. They are the keys. That's what the codes
are.
Symbols. They are symbols. Allison says, Bob, did we do this? Bob? Yes, we did that. Pop Goes the World, Gene. Men hide their bald heads. We did that. Men without hats, says Rakiki. Bob, you enjoy Wendy says, you enjoy talking to anybody, but I think your favorites are people with accents and those with crazy laughs. Yeah, I enjoy them. But then they could get too carried away, and I want a sober thinker, talker. Men without hats saying, pop goes the world. Get the sink, catch up. Get the sink, catch up, Bob. So there's the sink. Sky Goddess Sue says, thanks, Greg and Ginny. Such ah-ha-ha-ha bullshit. No meat. I want to barf my shoes, too. Total crap. What, are they fucking agreeing with you, Ginny? Is she agreeing with you or making fun of you? I think she's agreeing with you, right?
Yes, she is. Yeah, she wants
to. Bullshit. No meat. I want to barf my shoes. Oh, Sue is a guru. All these gurus can't take the next generation of gurus.
Good point.
They see the mistake they're making, and it is sad to see the next generation making the same mistakes Ginny, Sue, and everybody else made, including Susan Weed. Susan Weed is the original tough nut to crack. Leon, he says, he quotes Frank Zappa. Now, he got it. Leon knows what I was saying, Carolyn. I'm in you. You know the famous satire of the Peter 1970 Frampton song, I'm in you? And Carolyn just dropped her cell phone on her face. Which happened in Veep. Remember when the guy dropped, when Mike, the Irish guy, the redhead, dropped his cell phone? So, Frank, I'm in you. I'm in you. We should play that song just so people know. You gave Hillary a major mental orgasm. That's right. She remained frigid even while having it. That's Quadrophenia, Ginny. She was doing all four. Wednesday, Wendy, blah ha ha, purple transmission rules. I knew she was a sneaky bitch right away. Guess I am a better psychic than she is, blah ha ha. That's a good one. Jean says, Hillary's perception of the discussion of the heart was not mine. Bob, you were so accommodating with her as she explained her concept of heart. You tried to find common ground. Yes, I tried to figure out what the hell heart was she talking about.
Yeah, very good. I'm glad you had your green drink because that could have gone south with her, boy.
That's right. Well, I haven't had my green drink today yet.
I haven't. No, man.
Now, Tina says, oh, my God, so it's always about Tina. I'm actually reading a novel about the Voynich manuscript called The Book of God and Physics. Cool. And, of course, Tina, the dragonfly is there, too, right? And the dragon in there, too? Now, who else does that? A lot of the earlier, like Allison does that. Everything's about themselves. Incredible. Of course, I'm a bad example, and they misinterpret me. They think I'm saying it's about me, and they think it's all about, they misinterpret me. I do not speak. I have not spoken in decades. So what is all that noise that's coming from me? It is language being channeled. So Gene says, let's see who tries to take advantage of whom. Then Tina says, oh, but most do enjoy a well-rounded penis. Ha, 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 ha. Regardless of which end you are on. Agree? Not into matching. Then Tina says, back to the penis talk, Bob. Then Leon says, laughing out loud, ha, ha, ha. Let's go back to the fat goddess. Allison says, Hillary will probably love all this time spent at her. Well, I'd love to fucking play all this and slowly analyze it, you know, without ranting on. Let's get to what we can perceive and what this discussion is about. Then Allison says, I acknowledge it all now, Bob. I left all that shit behind as we progress with Ion and you. So she's only pretending it's all about her. Is that what you're saying, Allison? You just joke about it. And then she says, I don't have a problem with Hillary either. Didn't actually hear her. See, she doesn't even fucking hear. Allison is never completely informed. She drops in, drops out. She never gets the whole fucking story. You're commenting on it, and you didn't even hear the whole. You've got to hear the whole thing, Allison. You're saying you didn't actually hear her whole spiel today. Both and when I happened to encounter Bob and I, and it was at that point when it was perfect for my space-time. All the rest of what I had previously engaged was full of shit. And then Underwear Power writes in, did you talk to Santos? Not yet. Okay, we got to phone up Matthew at 3 in the morning and give him a fucking, whatever it is, the what for. Matthew is fucking up with the non-people. In the non-INS. Allison says, yes, usually Bob bounces on. Oh, no, we did that. So there's lots of. So back to you guys, Ginny. What are we doing next? You guys mute so easily.
Sorry, Bob. We are getting ready to move into Evergreen's land unless there are any other moments of completion that we need to have around Hillary. I think we're good.
Hey, listen to this. There's a Dave guy. A Dave is posting, and he says, now, this could be even Neufeld. Dave, Ion came on air at 11:22 EST while you were withdrawing gently from Hillary. Now, Carolyn has it as 11:16, right, Carolyn? You know, but I'm not going to argue with this guy. Dave says, nice. What is he saying before that? Is there a Dave before that? So Dave comes in and says, nice, Bob. Or nice, Bob, nice. So he doesn't say what he's commenting. Then he mentions that Ion came on air 11:22, then Dave says, it's all about Bob. Now, Neufeld could say something like that. Then Dave says, Hillary's getting her tush kicked. Hope she has thick cheeks. That could be a Neufeld statement. And listen, now look, this is a Neufeld statement. It's not even about the effects of the printing press. See, Dave knows the rapper well, so he can see what the later level is. It's about Bob reminding us of the details and patterns, not limited to the printing press. Right. And then he says, "Spring press rocks."
Yeah, I would say that's Dave Neufeld. I would just also go on to say that in your dissecting of yourself or whatever, if you can even get one angle when you're looking at the pattern. So printing press was a good place to start for me,
you know, yeah. wherever it starts with a person, and that's, you know, that's one part of it. And you did go through a lot of different pieces with Hillary, but I think that's the thing.
Is yeah, that's the thing. See, Ginny, my response, when I talk about the, no one, I mean, McLuhan wrote it, but nobody read McLuhan enough to know it and to spew it back. I say, well, you're talking about the split between the heart and the head, the cause of the printing press. She has never heard that fucking concept before. If there's a male-female battle going on, I came up with incredible new tactics on the male side, or the female side, whatever side I was on.
Yeah,
that's someone else. Someone else wanted to say something, I think. Who was that? Or was that Carol?
Did I take everybody off?
No, it's Carolyn. It was Carolyn's echo. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Yeah, I wanted to ask what you were getting at when you brought up William Irwin Thompson, that he started the feminist movement. I mean, it's like you were really trying to dig her with that.
It is true. Bill says that, Carolyn. Back in the 90s, he would review all those books. I have the transcripts of his talks. And he would, I think, The Chalice and the Blade, Charlotte somebody, he reviewed the New Age feminists, several of the books, including Donna Hathaway, or whatever her name is. He reviewed Haraway. And he said, he was quoting what they said and said, I said that back in the 70s, and he basically was peeved that they don't know that he said it. And he knows the McLuhan thing. He could say print is an effect of the split in the head and heart. He knows McLuhan at some point would say it. And so Thompson is well qualified to say that he started it. He started to celebrate the goddess and the Cato Hayek back in the 70s. And talking about it very archaeologically, he was reading all the early feminists. What's her name? Marutis, the one who did the Cato Hayek. He was reading them early and commenting and using them in his books. So before these people even heard, when these people were in high school, he was dealing with the male, and he's always wrestling with the male role in relation to the female role. And that's why Sri Aurobindo and the mother was an important archetype for him. You know, at Sri Aurobindo's place. No, Thompson is very important. That's why his quadrant has the cowgirl. He's dealing with the cowgirl.
Ah, right. Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I saw and heard Thompson lecture, so I know what he was saying, and he had a strong feminine side. He had no patriarchy about him.
No, but he did have it on the mind level. In the end, he was a mind guy, as our recent buddy found out.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a book guy. That's why in his quadrant, his sub technology is the printed book. He's a very printed book bias. He's devoted to that, like T.S. Eliot, who is the poet of that quadrant. You know, let's try to get Hillary to analyze my chart. That chart is so fucking profound and amazing, and Ginny has seen glimpses of it. We'll see what Madeline makes of it, or Allison. I don't know if Allison's capable of looking at the chart and studying it. She's flitting around too much. Don't know if Allison can focus.
Okay, Ginny and Greg Soap.
Yes, back to you guys.
Okay, very good. So, Bob, I am doing this one little tiny technical thing right here, right now, that I'm going to move into our next level of devotion to you. Hold on just one sec. And then we're going to move into our evergreen stuff. And I also want to tell you that I offered people to call in. I was very disappointed at the participation, if I might sound ridiculously self-righteous for a moment. When I offered all the people on the Duke to call in to Matthew's testimonial line and make a recording and congratulating you on the Bob Fest and encouraging you and sending out their sentiments, and we would play them throughout, you know, pepper them throughout like a commercial or something.
And nobody did it.
Well, there's only one person who did it, and so I just want to play that one clip since we're in the middle of our show.
I just want to say, Diddy, I'm fully aware of the love-hate situation I'm in. People love me, they hate me. Because in a sense, I'm the last man talking to the gaggle of women that have taken over, the women archetype. I'm the last guy. I'm doing a better job than Thompson at it.
Is that really what's going on?
Yes, I've always said I was the last guy. I was the one who showed up, made it through the battles, and was able to engage Carolyn.
Ah. Okay.
Jitty got there. Insight there.
I can live with that.
Right. Now, Mark D., he's a bit of a wacky guy. He says, man, I cannot wait until I'm in my 90s. And I say, I guess to his wife, you have penis envy. And Gail says, not in my house. And I say, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Such marriage bliss. Yeah, Mark and Gail, they've been together like 28 years, 37 years. We got a few years on him, so he's studying me to see, to get to the next lap. To survive his marriage.
The next lap. That's what it is. It's just an endurance course, isn't it, Bob?
That's right. It's an endurance course, and it's extra demanding when you're here forever.
That's right. It is extra demanding when you're here forever. Very good. Very good. Okay, so anyway, yeah, so, well, maybe there is a love-hate relationship with you, but, you know, I think people on the douche, for the most part, I mean, they seem to love and enjoy chitty-chatting with you, and I thought it wouldn't really be that much effort to call and just, you know, make their, say their things and make their accolades and participate fully, but I guess they're contributing another way, so I'll get off that for now. But anyway, yeah, so that was the one thing I was a little disappointed in. So I will play the clip of the one person who did actually call in to wish you well, and then we are going to dedicate another musical presentation to you, and then we're segueing into the evergreen. Okay, so here we go.
This here, the Reverend Bishop Josephus Mordecai Jones, speaking to you on the wireless to proclaim a glorious celebration that's coming your way. All this to courtesy of Sister Jenny Almighty on the free iron from the radio show. Don't quite know what iron got to be freed from the radio, but that's the way it is. We're here to proclaim the freedom from bondage, time, toil, social obligation, guilt, self-incrimination, all them other things that I call sin. That's right. Today is the only sin that exists. Like in the 1960s, when the Hopi Indians predicted that when the man wears the long hair and the flowers on the chest, there will be salvation of mankind. We consequently came to know them as the hippies. They would have succeeded in this celebration, except they made a division. That's right. They made a division of us and them. That division sealed their downfall. But unlike the hippies, we now know there's no fighting against anything. No persecution of the simple man or woman. Let them be who they wants to be. Like the hippies, we can ignore all the rules, courtesy of the ingestion of the RNA drops. Doing the stripping us of limitations, and as that happens, we'll open up to the mind of Christ. Let the RNA drop you. The mind of Christ, free from fear, experiencing the vibration of love, the Holy Anointed, embracing the unconditional force field of who it really is. The illumination of the non-physical, that's all the power flow with the mind on board, not as an observer, or as a commander, or a controller. The joy and bliss of the 1960s without the drugs. You'd be the genie in the bottle. Give yourself a rub. Oh, I was getting sidetracked, yeah. This glorious celebration of words will come to you shortly via the pie hole of that boy Bob. That boy Bob be wording for 3 years straight, beginning on Friday the 22nd. He'll solve, confuse, rip apart, and put back together everything the world has ever known. Call it a mantar, the language of the gods for us. Words, which is the motor paving the road to unhindered illumination. Y'all tune in now to the Bob Wireless broadcast. Give your attention, receive the gifts you write for yourself, for your memory took over. My mama used to tell me a story, a poem. poem goes like this. They drew a circle to keep me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But I was wise and had the wit to win. For I drew a circle that kept them in.
Awesome. Excellent.
Okay.
I'm a bit disappointed, Ginny, that, you know, one person called in and turned to be a fucking cartoon. You know, I can't even get a real anthropomorphic anti-crew member to fucking do something.
I agree. I'd fire them all. Okay.
Yes, they are seriously fucking up my purpose-driven reality.
They are fucking up your purpose-driven reality. Okay, well, here's a little music to console you, Bob. Here you go.
You know me, I'm in you.
Very nice. Now, Ginny,
good.
How did you find, how did you possess that so quickly?
Because I am ambidextrous and talented.
Connected to the chip body. Access.
Right, but is
body.
It like, do you send it to Bill, put in to, for Bill, or
no.
Do you have one of those YouTube edits where you can download it immediately? Once
yeah.
You,
I have
yes.
A YouTube download, and then I load it up myself, yeah.
Right. Mine is doesn't always work. I've stopped using it, but maybe it did. So I just sent a version to Bill to answer that, which hopefully he'll post, and then we'll play at some point. But that was a nice song. Who was that?
That's Peter Frampton.
Really?
Frampton Comes Alive, 1976.
That,
oh, absolutely.
That's not the I've Been in You, is it, Carol? Is that the
yeah,
song?
It is.
No, there was another song, I think, that was more well-known.
Well, there's a Zappa song.
No, I mean Frampton's famous song of that period.
Oh,
I didn't
well,
know.
That's not Frampton's only famous. Frampton's favorite famous song was Do You Feel Like I Do?
Hmm.
Do you feel like I do? Where he does that wah, wah, wah with this... you know,
right.
Guitar through the whole thing. Yeah, Frampton Comes Alive.
Yeah, I guess maybe I never heard the Frampton thing that Zappa did a takeoff on. Hmm.
So Zappa played Frampton's song.
He did a takeoff on it. Yes, that's what we will play.
And I see. Oh, okay, so this YouTube, this what you sent Bill, this link, you want
yes.
me to do it?
Yeah, stick it in and we'll play it. Yeah.
Right.
See what you think of Zappa's takeoff. Like, he back then he said he heard the song and he said, somebody's got to do something about this. He was outraged by the song. And I don't know what song.
I've Been in You. Oh, my God. It goes on for 11 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, just do it. We'll just do the first part.
Okay. All right. I've Been in You. I thought you were talking about the legitimate Frampton song, not Zappa.
We are. He changes the lyrics.
Can't believe I'm playing Zappa on my show, Bob. This is totally against my religion. No, I will.
What?
I will.
Why do you keep calling this your show? Aren't you my guest? What the hell? How's this your show? What the
No, I'm Ginny Almighty. I make everything mine. Bob,
oh,
no.
Hillary's coming through. You stand firm.
That's right. I stand firm. I'm standing firm in my heart and hardly firmly stand. And the firmness forever standing heart.
Forever to be known as pulling a Hillary.
Yeah.
Pulling a Hillary. That's very good, Carolyn.
Listen to this. There's a new girl at the canteen on my beach walk. And so I walked by one day, and then I got talking to her. I said, what's your name? And she says, Hillary. And I said, oh, man, I hate Hillary Clinton. And she said, well, I'm not Hillary Clinton. Then she got upset. And I said, oh, no, just joking. So I had to spend the next 3 weeks of smiling and being very nice to her to override the faux pas. But it was all in anticipation of Hillary coming to get me. It was the effects preceding the causes. I've had to apologize to Hillary for 3 weeks.
Right.
Look at that. Here's Dave. What does Dave say? He says, Ginny. Now, look at this. So Dave would say Ginny. The way he says it must be Newfield. Ginny. Great show. Ask Bob to check back to around 11 on the chat and watch the dialogue heat up just as Ion arrives. There's some funny stuff for Bob to respond to. Okay, good. And look at this. Look at Sarah Courtney going, Bob, he cites one of my greatest hits. We appreciate you. Dynamic symmetry of tension among proportions. I forgot that one. Remember that one, Judy?
Oh, yeah.
Look, here's Dave saying, hi, Ginny, saw your picture, and sorry to say, but you have a really marvelous-looking face. Sorry to say. Mm. Then he says, Thompson came up earlier on the chat, as did Cliched Archetype, anticipating program. See, that has to be Neufeld. Hello, Dave Neufeld. It's fun to have you here. Did you just do that, or is that a long time ago, Ginny? So it is Neufeld.
As about 10 minutes ago, says Ginny.
Right, so I did figure it out that it was Neufeld. Now, he says... It'd be neat if the chat comments timed could play on the archive like chronological pop-up comments like on SoundCloud. And of course, is someone keeping a record of chat? Yes, I am keeping a record of the chat. I've been doing that. Ginny, nice. I am counting, says Mark. And then Sarah Courtney comes in, get on it, Dave. You are a marvelous creator. And then just think, in the middle of the day, Ion was here. Boy, that was pretty neat, eh? Where are you, Ginny? Is it taking that long to bring it up?
She's working on some Zappa Bob. Just banging keys.
Right. There's nobody coming after you 2 hours, so you guys are going to be on here longer than 2 hours, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, here, let me do my interlude here with the Evergreens. Just everybody who's listening, when I got to know Bob and how many sessions he's had with the Evergreens, I was amazed that he never had gotten into any philosophies with the Evergreens that I knew of, personal things. It was all conspiracies, because all the readings that I had with the Evergreens was all about personal stuff and philosophies, and at the time it was getting into psychic things and remote healing and bending spoons and all that other good stuff. And consequently, the Evergreens did 26 sessions based upon Huna, which is the Hawaiians and the Kahunas being the keepers of the secret, probably one of the, I guess, I'll call it last civilizations that had carried forth this wisdom or insight into us being gods. Consequently, that 26 sessions was the Evergreens' way of getting into more of describing how the high self, the spiritual self, and the low self, the subconscious, and the mid-self, the conscious, all interact. No different than the symbolisms you see in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, or the totem poles of the Indians, where the top of the totem pole was the eagle, soars over, sees it all. The middle of the totem pole would be the man's face, and the bottom of the totem pole would be the whale that swims in the sea, and all the fishies are connected. So, in one session, in Huna Actualities, this was titled, Teaching a Fish to Swim. And it gives you an idea of where the Evergreens were coming from in that whole position of conscious, subconscious, and higher self, or spiritual connection. And the title of this particular session in Huna Actualities is called, Government Project Teaching Fish to Swim, 25 million requested. So I'm going to use their words, but remember the mid-self is the conscious, the low-self is the subconscious, which I, in the beginning, had confused with non-physical, with Ion, and Ion straightened me up about that. And, of course, the high-self being the spiritual self. Here we go. Of the mid-self, it is the mid-self, conscious, placed in concrete. And a concrete, although solid as it is affected by the condition that exists within the mid-self. The mid-self is a projection of the low-self. And the mid-self is the low-self expressed. And that those conditions which exist within the mid-self are reflections of those which exist within the low-self. The low-self is a reflection of the high-self, and those conditions which exist within the high-self are reflected in the low-self. Therefore, from high to low to mid to body, the physical is a reflection of the spiritual, but that reflection is distorted. The distortion that comes within this is that which is reflected back from the body to the mind, from the mind to the low-self, from the low self to the high self, and by this, the high self gains. Nonetheless, the physical conditions can improve upon the mid-self. Nonetheless, physical conditions can impose upon the mid-self that condition by which it would then view the world, and by that, how it would reflect to the low self. The mind is stronger than the body, but the body is given the authority to oft-times command the mind itself. A vitamin deficiency will affect the mind. Any deficiencies or excesses will affect the mind. And only when the mind grasps that it is the master will there be any change in the physical state, any alteration. For the physical state that it, for the physical state that most inhabit is that which has been twisted by not only the mind's ability to receive and how it chooses to receive, but how it is programmed to receive and how it is affected by its reception. The body twists, the body turns, it tried to get away, it tried to move towards. And if you have seen the face of a person steeped in jealousy or steeped in hate, then you will see the lines engraved in their face. And if you look at the crinkles in a person's eyes, you will see that laughter molds the face. And if laughter molds the face, then it is obvious that hate can mold the face. And you will see that it affects the remainder of the body. The body itself, if there were the purity of the communication between the selves, would be without any blemish. But since there is that which is termed living, then there is that which is termed twisting. This does not infer, nor would we suggest, that you receive this information that there is something wrong with the mental state, but that it has accepted certain things. It has decided that there are certain truths by which it will conduct its business, and will oftentimes twist itself to accommodate that. The body is given direction by the mind. The body, if given direction by the mind, will revert to perfect health, if given the direction. The object of existence is always to learn, and by learning, learn that which is profitable to the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual, and to realize that which is not profitable and choose not to experience that. The body will only experience that in truth which is profitable to itself. Therefore, all things that have happened in your experience, you have accepted because there has been a degree of profit, one degree or another. The object is to find those things which are more profitable, for all things are profitable. Yes, even hate has a profit in it, although it does not have a great profit. Prayer is a form of communication, and all that one learns in the primary and the secondary stages of understanding guna is to make that prayer effective. The alchemists knew that the object of alchemy was first to alter the condition within the alchemist. Guna knew this and knew it well, and those who practiced guna, when there was considerable practice of guna, knew this. The object is to change first that which broadcasts. Guna has within it certain safeguards. Those that project that which is not to the greater profit do itself contain certain guards. Those that project that which is not to the greater profitability do not profit themselves. This is the simplest. To become more powerful, is it not profit? Sorry. To become more powerful, it is necessary not to change yourself, but to revert to that which is yourself, as expressed through the high self. It does not mean casting aside, it means absorption. One of the first is to learn that, yes, you are capable of any action, including murder, bestiality, fight. First is to learn that, yes, you are capable of this. All of these in accompaniment with happiness, enjoyment, strength, and all of these. But that you choose one day and not choose the other day, just today. As it was said, one of the better methodologies of life is to live day by day. Plan as much as you wish, but live that day as you have. Spend that coin to its most profit. And that is true as a first step. It is true as a second step. And as one becomes more powerful in prayer, then one can use that energy for greater effectiveness. Now, that which you are at present is the result of those prayers which you yourself have made. If a condition exists within your life, then you have, for one reason or both, for one reason or another, both valid, wanted that condition which exists within your life. You wanted it, you hungered for it, you said, this must exist, I command it to exist, and it exists. All of that which is yourself now is the resultant of those prayers that you have given, even to the twisting, even to the turning. These are the results of prayer. It worked and has resulted in who you are now. But that prayer was given from a partiality of self. It was not given from a more totality of yourself. And that which you are learning at present is to use that greater totality of yourself. Prayer begins with the realization that you have that within yourself. If you can pray for it, then you have knowledge of it. If you have knowledge of it, then you must be, because there is some of that within yourself. If you pray for love, then there must be that with which is in yourself, love or wealth and happiness and enjoyment and fear and loathing. Some people believe that to make themselves more effective, they must be more abrasive. Therefore, they pray for an abrasion, and it reaches them. They become that way. But once you have become that way, and they have realized certain successes from it, it is problematic for them to set that aside and say they will choose something that is more profitable. But once you have become that way, and they have realized certain successes from it, it is problematic for them to set that aside and say they will choose something that is more profitable. For the profit they are getting is better than no profit at all. And they believe, many, that if they set aside that abrasiveness, what can they replace it with? For they have not had profit in their life as much as they have had from that abrasiveness that they have learned. And that is where faith in self comes into play. The prayer is to the high self. I will learn that which is more profitable, even though it means setting aside that which I have at present. Which means that if you have the faith that there is something that can give you greater profit than that which you have learned, then you will set that aside which you have learned, and you will learn anew, and you will receive energies. Now, there are those that have been called walk-ons, and to be sure, they are rare individuals. But those that suddenly change within themselves and have made that commitment that they will allow themselves to accept that which is more profitable than themselves, than that which existed at present, even though the present has its certain profitabilities. And the universe moves toward love, for that is the way of the high self. Your high self, in all of its existences, has learned through direct action that more is accomplished through love than any other. That is why you have created yourself in this time, in these years, so that you would be able to once again choose love. It is not a curse that you wish to live in interesting times. It is not a curse that you wish to live in interesting times. It is, in truth, a wish. For interesting times, one can choose, and if you choose love, you choose that which has the higher profit. Some would say one should not choose love for profit. It is conditional, if one chooses. Everything, truthfully, is conditional. It depends on what conditions you put. It depends upon what profit you want. In truth, choose every profit, physical profit, mental profit, emotional profit, spiritual profit. Choose them all. Accept them all. Do not make arbitrary divisions. For there is the problem, you see, arbitrariness, in that if I accept this, then I cannot accept that, a person says, and that is false. If I accept the love of that person, then I cannot accept the love of another. If I accept the love of this, I cannot accept the love of that, the person says. If I deny myself, then something else will pop up to make my life better. The number of people who pass a shoe store and look at